Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Drew at the controls. Bill Cameron will join us momentarily. He is going to observe the football viewing window that the Auburn spring practice continuing this week as we get closer to A-Day on Saturday. And Bill Cameron will be able to report. Well, he's going to talk to us before he gets to look at some football practice, and then he's going to report back after practice is done. A loaded show today, as we will talk with the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, in hour number one. Some point, I think early hour number two, we're looking at talking with Auburn gymnastics coach Jeff Graba as the postseason begins for the Auburn gymnastics team. We're going to talk with the head coach of the Auburn gymnastics team in hour number two. Jake Crane from Crane & Company also making his usual Tuesday appearance on the show. I guess I should lead with the Troy Trojans winning last night in the quarterfinals of the WNIT, victorious over ULM. Trojans built a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter. ULM cut it to six. Missed a three-pointer that would have cut it to three, so they made it very interesting there at the end. ULM, a really cool story. I talked about it yesterday when I called in, that they were the worst team in the Sun Belt for a decade. Hired the right coach. She brought in some talent from other places that had played for her in junior college. Missy Bilderback is that coach's name, and she was the coach at Jones, a successful junior college that had sent a lot of players to D1 basketball. She reunited with some of the players that had played for her previously. They join her at ULM, and they immediately become one of the better teams in the Sun Belt Conference, and they get all the way to the quarterfinals of the WNIT. They get all the way down to the round of eight from the initial 48 that make this tournament. Troy making its first ever run, postseason run in program history. Three wins now in the WNIT, and the Trojans hosting the Minnesota Golden Gophers tomorrow night at Trojan Arena. WNIT semifinals, the Fab Four comes to Trojan Arena. I will be calling the game on the Troy Sports Radio Network, and I will be doing the ESPN Plus broadcast tomorrow night of the WNIT semifinals. So, you know, got that piece of news last night, and so I'll be you can tune in if you want on ESPN Plus, and I'll be handling it, or troytrojans.com/watch for tomorrow night's WNIT semifinal. First time a Big Ten team has ever come to Trojan Arena in the I think Trojan Arena has been around, I want to say, 12 or 13 seasons, and this is the first time that a Big Ten team has ever made that trip before, and it's in the WNIT semifinals. St. Louis and Vermont are on the other side of the bracket. No telling if Troy is victorious tomorrow night. No telling if Trojan Arena gets to host the finals on Saturday, which is a possibility, as far as I understand. But also, it could be one of the two teams that advance from the other side. So it could be a trip to Missouri or a trip to Burlington, Vermont, a place that I am. I can't say I've ever been to Burlington in my travels before. So and I was told, I think I can say this, that it was in fact suspected that if Wyoming had beaten Minnesota last night, Troy versus Wyoming would have been played in Laramie, Wyoming tomorrow night. And so I would probably be on a plane right now to Wyoming with the team instead of doing the show. But instead, because it's Minnesota, I think Minnesota's basketball gym availability. Again, I haven't been told any of this. This is all speculation from me, so nobody should get in trouble for me revealing this, but it's like, it's not really revealing it. I'm just guessing. Minnesota, I think, has other stuff going on with their gym. It's like a city-owned sort of deal, and so they can't host any of these games. They also had a losing record in the Big Ten this year, so maybe they're less inclined to get to host than other programs. So, but yeah, Troy hosting Minnesota tomorrow night. Four teams left in the WNIT, and the Trojans, led by four seniors who had great games last night, they were able to pull away from ULM, and yeah, one game away from the finals, and maybe the Trojans can win the whole enchilada. So we'll see what happens, and I'm excited about that as we get ready for tomorrow night's game. Let's bring in Bill Cameron, who is on the phone. I know Bill has a little bit of time with us before he's going to go check out the viewing window for football practice. What's up, Bill?
Yeah, Dan, first of all, congratulations. You know, I thought it used to be you'd hear win and go home for Troy. It's been win and stay home. And hopefully they get another opportunity to do that, win, and maybe host the WNIT championship game.
Yeah, you know, I would be fine with, you know, for ceremony or for gravitas if they wanted to play the Final Four or the last game in the WNIT, if they wanted to play those games in a neutral site or some gym designated for it, like that'd be cool too. But Troy hasn't lost at home since New Year's Eve. Like they're playing very well. This was I think 10 in a row at home after the win last night. So I think that they're perfectly fine, and a very nice crowd at Trojan Arena as well. A lot of student athletes came in support of the women's basketball team. The usual crowd of fans that came from around the area as well. A lot of parents. You know, it could be, 'cause that's the other thing. Could be the last game of the season. You know, when you're playing that's these true. Games, you know, it could be the end. It is the end for the losing team, and for the seniors on that team, it's the end of careers. So yeah, I think tomorrow night could be a really special occasion. You know, never had anything like that at Trojan Arena before for a variety of reasons. So this is it could be an exciting one tomorrow night.
Yeah. Hopefully there's a great crowd and you come away with another win and get to play for a championship. That would be great.
How about the trip Minnesota's making from Laramie, Wyoming they played a game late into the evening. And I mean, I'm sure they were still in Wyoming. Maybe they're flying private as a Big Ten school. Maybe. In the postseason,
but they don't have much time to prepare either. I mean, that's a huge advantage, I would think, for Troy with being able to stay at home and wait for Minnesota, who's flown across the country, now to fly back across to the South. So,
I think that's
a huge advantage.
You've seen this with teams that play an up-tempo pressing style, Bill, where you'd rather be playing them if you're going to play them on the weekend. You'd rather play them in the first game than the second game,
right?
You have more time to prepare. You're fresher. It's not a good. I mean, I know Troy just played a highly competitive game last night as well. But it seems like Troy's a tough matchup on 48 hours notice. When you factor in, there's also a cross country flight involved.
Yeah, no kidding. So that hopefully that's a lot of fun tomorrow. Like you said, I'm here in the football complex waiting. I believe they're a little later, a little behind normal. So it'll be at least 4:15, I think, before we get to go outside today. It's the last day of, you know, full go, full pads, and full contact of the spring, you know, with the exception, obviously, of the A-Day game. But the A-Day game, as Hugh Freeze told us a little earlier today, they still haven't decided exactly how they're going to do it. But it's going to be best against best. Just don't know how much we'll see of the best. He didn't want to talk about first and seconds, but he said there's the orange and then there's the blue. And you get a feeling that, you know, you'll see all of the guys that are in the first rotation playing against each other. So that's good, but just don't know how much they're going to do it. Sort of like he did it last year, spot the defense 27 points and then see if the offense can score more. I think he feels much more optimistic. Was it 27 or 24 last year? But I think he's much more optimistic that the offense has a chance. And he seemed really pleased with the scrimmage on Saturday. So the defense really dominated early on, but then the offense responded, and they really shone there toward the end. And I mean, here we are in the last week of spring practice, and we haven't heard any comments about, you know, lulls or dragging or anything like that. So it's been a lively spring practice, and from all accounts, from all the players and coaches that we've talked to, they've been very pleased thus far. So, I mean, I think the main thing right now this past week or this last week is to just try to, you know, come out of it as healthy as possible. So they've had some guys banged up, but no serious injuries. He did point out that quite a few of the receivers have been banged up and weren't able to be out there this past Saturday. Jay Fair, Caleb Burton, and then he pointed out that Sam Jackson, we've seen him in that orange jersey, and that's because of shoulder surgery, but he's been going through everything except for the contact. But we'll see this Saturday. Hopefully the weather holds up. Looks like it's going to be a little cooler, but hopefully it's better than it was last year, and it was just a mess.
What's the buzz on the kind of spring Peyton Thorne is having?
solid. Nothing, you know, nothing but good. I mean, he did point out the fact that he said all the quarterbacks have improved, and that he didn't want to say, you know, here's the pecking order, but he talked about the competition for when he was talking about the competition for the backup quarterback. He talked about Hank Brown and Holden Garner, and that Walker is. I got a tremendous arm, but he's still swimming right now. So it made it seem like I don't think there's any question. I mean, it's Peyton and then battle for the second spot behind him as we enter the final week of spring.
Yeah, I can't help but think that's eliminated some of the drama that can surround a spring when you have a quarterback controversy, when it feels wide open. I mean, it's been a while since Auburn. I guess Bo Nix's second year was probably the last time. Auburn had a spring where it seemed like, you know, it seemed like there wasn't too much mystery as to who the starting quarterback was going to be, and I know that not to discount the chance that the other guys could push for playing time, but when you have a pretty secure hold on the starting quarterback job, it eliminates sort of the day-to-day intrigue that can come with spring practice. As opposed to when there's a three-man horse race or something, or even a two-man race to be the new starting quarterback. What about at the backup spot? Right, like that's somewhere where between Holden and Hank and Walker, I do feel like there is some possibility for movement.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, it's interesting that Hank was mentioned first each time when he was talking about the guys, and then he talked about. Walker with a world of ability, but still trying to catch up. So it really sounds like the battle for the number two guy, at least right now, is between Hank and Holder, Hank and Holden. And you know, the times we've seen him, Holden has appeared a little more inconsistent than Hank, but he's been around the program a little longer. But I would feel that Hank's probably got the advantage on the number two spot with Walker, the guy that they're still wanting to bring along and seeing if. You know, a full summer of workouts and building more chemistry with the receivers might be able to really push him up into the competition.
Anybody who has, has sort of inserted themselves into the conversation, as far as you can tell, is somebody who maybe didn't seem like they were going to get a lot of playing time when spring started, and according to reports or according to what you're seeing when you're out there, has maybe moved into a more serious position on the two deep.
Oh, I nearly ran into a camera. It's interesting. I asked that question, Hugh that question today about guys that might have stepped up that really hadn't been. The first guy he talked about was Jeremiah Wright, but then he pointed out. Now with some sad news along with it, that Braden Joyner's really had a good spring. You know, we hadn't really heard much about Braden, the Auburn native. We've heard some things about E.J. Harris, but he talked about Braden. He talked about some of the young defensive backs, he said, were the guys. That's where they're really so pleased with what they've seen there at defensive back and in the secondary that, you know, obviously Keontae and Jaron Thompson are the experienced hands, but they feel like they've got – more talent to work with and more possibilities back there in the secondary. So I think that's the position. He did say that's the position that has made the biggest move, the biggest improvements this spring.
Talking about Bill Cameron, who is on campus. He's going to go see football practice momentarily as Auburn, the week of A-Day, letting the media view a little bit of practice. Bill's going to come in during the second hour and tell us about what he saw. Are you coming up on, is it about time for you to get out there, Bill? Are you...
Yeah, I think they're just about to open the doors, and they said we can maybe able to stay a little bit longer than the other day, but I'll get back as quickly as I can. Did want to update you. Yes, you're right. Jeff Grable will be calling in first thing in the second hour, so right around 5 o'clock, we'll get a chance to talk with the Auburn gymnastics coach as they get ready to head out to Berkeley for a regional.
Very exciting stuff. We're going to talk with Andy Burcham later on here in hour number one, and Jeff Graba and Jake Crane from Crane & Company among our guests in hour two. Until then, Bill, have a good time out there. We will talk to you again soon.
Will do.
Bill Cameron, who will be returning to the studio before the show is over, checking in from Auburn's campus. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. Dan Peck here in the studio with Drew. That number is presented by our friends at Skybar. That's the Drive Hotline. You can call it up, 334-321-1390, presented by Skybar. You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors, and they also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center. We'll be back with, we'll talk a little more basketball. There's Final Four coming up. Alabama's in it. And yeah, we got some spring football as well, because Auburn is playing its spring game on Saturday. We will be back. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of The Drive.
At Reynolds Outdoors, they're all about hunting and fishing and loving the 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back. Hour number one of the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Bill Cameron at practice, as Auburn football has a viewing window for the media before A-Day on Saturday. Hopefully nice weather for A-Day on Saturday. I know the next couple of days are touch and go, especially tonight, right? We got some very serious weather in the Alabama area tonight, so be safe and be aware and be vigilant, all of those things, they moved the baseball game. I think I have that right. They were going to play baseball tonight, and the schedule has been adversely impacted there, as they probably weren't going to be able to play too much baseball tonight based on the weather in the Auburn, the projected weather in the Auburn Opelika area. So that's part of the reason why we're able to talk with Andy Burcham, as a matter of fact, as. Let me see if I can get the weather forecast. Tonight's game has been postponed until tomorrow at 6 p.m. So in fact, it was supposed to be in Birmingham, the baseball game tonight. As a matter of fact, they were going to be playing. Was it UAB? Yeah, I think that's right. And they've that was the opponent tonight, but instead Auburn playing that game tomorrow against. Against the opponent, and you can the midweek Auburn baseball looking to get off the mat after the first three series of the season, 1-8, second to last in the SEC. There is the acknowledgement that, I mean, of the, it's going to sound like excuse making. It's not. I'm speaking in facts here. You know, of the teams considered the 10 best in college baseball, you know, Auburn's played three of them. Probably to start, you know, at least, I mean, it's, and it doesn't get any easier. Tennessee's coming in this weekend too, so I mean that's life in the SEC, and it's going to get, I mean, Texas and Oklahoma coming in as well, so it's part of the existence here. Auburn's got to find a way to find a way to win close games, find a way to win close games. Like, that's ultimately, over and over again, that's the refrain in college baseball, especially when you're playing against teams that have the have the talent of some of the best teams in the SEC, and Auburn has shown that they've had teams in recent years, you know, College World Series caliber teams that have been able to survive this SEC slate and advance in the postseason. The next 18 conference games will decide if this is a team that can do that. You know, it's not a promising start, but they've had frustrating starts before in conference play, and they've been able to survive and overcome the adversity there, and we'll see if this team can do it. It's been a real, you know, getting outs has been, especially in that series this weekend where Auburn was able to average eight runs a game, something like that, and they weren't able to come away with a win in any of the games. That's not to put it all on the pitching staff, because, you know, some of that's, you still need timely hitting even if the overall results are there, but it is not the start that the Auburn baseball team wanted in league play for a team that certainly believed they were good enough to So, and still, I would imagine, still believes they're good enough to play in the postseason. And once you get into the postseason, I mean, baseball, we're seeing it in March Madness, too, with the NCAA tournament. NCAA tournaments, you're seeing it with the women's basketball tournament as well. But the baseball postseason in college baseball, the postseason is, I mean, it is wide open. It is a hot pitcher or two, or a bad performance by a pitcher who is a key piece, and a great team can look incredibly mortal, and a team with flaws can look unbeatable. So it's just a matter of, you hear the cliches about postseason play, you know, getting hot at the right time, peaking at the right time, staying healthy, and having all your pieces available at the end of the season, and, you know, figuring it out when it matters the most. It's something this Auburn baseball team is going to hope to do, because it has not been an ideal start to SEC play by any stretch, going 1-8 in their first nine, and this weekend you'd hope for good crowds with A-Day happening as well, and if, especially if the weather cooperates, you know, you could see folks cheering this team on. You know, they haven't lost the fans. I would be surprised if they were if there were a lot of empty seats this weekend. But you only have so many opportunities in league play. You only have so many series to make a dent. We've said the number is probably 13, best case scenario, maybe 14, as far as the fewest number of SEC games you can win and still make a case for postseason play, even in a great SEC. 13 and 17 will have you on the bubble sweating out Selection Sunday, you know, for the college baseball postseason, and that's maybe you can win a game or two in the SEC tournament and impact your SEC, you know, impact your NCAA tournament profile, but your resume. But I would think that, I mean, so if you say 13 and 17, let's do some quick math, Drew. 13 and 17, you know, to get to 13 and 17, a team that starts 1-8 would need to win 12 of the final 18. I mean, so it, right? Do I have that right? Yeah. Yeah. 12, yeah. Well, 12, yeah, 12 and 6. I mean, to go 12, if you're 1-8 to begin, and you got 1-8, you got 20. Well, no, hold on. With 1-8, you got 21 left. You got 7 series left. So to get to, so it's not 21. You would need to go, to get to 13, you'd need to win 12 of your next 21. So 12 and 9. You need to go 12 and 9 over the final 21. Seven left in the SEC. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, that's the, you know, and I know I only made it more confusing there, but Auburn's gonna have to play above 500 baseball the rest of the way in league play to make a case for the postseason. You know, you were saying, you know, after three series, you're hoping for two or three conference wins, maybe even four. Instead, you're sitting at one, and that's, you know, that it takes away your margin in the series that you have that are more winnable than these first three were based on the opponent. But it was a tough draw to begin, and the SEC this year is loaded with College World Series caliber teams, and so Auburn's going to have to. I mean, Auburn was a top 20 team in the human polls when league play began. They're 1-8, and second from the bottom in the SEC now. So we'll see what Auburn baseball can do. We'll talk with Andy Burcham, who's been there for these baseball games. Was going to be there tonight in Birmingham, but instead the weather causing a postponement there, and Auburn is going to play UAB tomorrow night. We'll have that for you on Wings 94.3 with the usual call for Auburn baseball. But we'll also talk with Andy about some of the other things going on in the world of Auburn sports. A-Day this weekend, and maybe some Auburn basketball as well. Bill Cameron joining us towards the end of hour number one, and then we're going to talk with Auburn gymnastics coach Jeff Graba, because we've got the postseason going on for Auburn gymnastics and the Auburn team out on the West Coast to try to take down some Pac-12 slash Big 12 opposition before they get into the next, if they can advance to the next round of the postseason. Dan Peck here in the studio, and we will I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390, the number to dial. That is the Skybar, and that's the hotline presented by our friends at Skybar Cafe. You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to your favorite podcasting platform, search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center. And, of course, we will be back. More of The Drive, including a visit from the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. Stick around.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Hour number one of the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Drew at the controls. Just saw that Casey Mize getting the start tonight for the Detroit Tigers. I know Casey worked his way back to Major League Baseball after some setbacks early in his professional career. He's getting a start against the Mets. Something to keep an eye on tonight if you're an Auburn fan tracking some of the former Auburn players around Major League Baseball. Speaking of Auburn baseball, we are thrilled to welcome in someone we usually get to talk to here on Tuesdays, the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us on the phone. Andy, are you in Birmingham? Did you cancel the trip because of the weather, and you're going to go up tomorrow? Or
yeah, no, I'm not in Birmingham. Okay. We'll go up tomorrow. Of course, it was originally scheduled for today at 6:00. Then they moved it to a 5:00 start, and then got together this morning and just figured the weather was going to be too prohibitive for Auburn to play there at Regions Field tonight. So Auburn and UAB will play tomorrow at 6:00. We'll have the broadcast over on Wings 94.3 starting at 5:45 tomorrow evening. So we'll head up tomorrow for that one and then get ready for a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series against the Tennessee Vols coming to town on Saturday. Of course, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Saturday, of course, the A-Day. So we'll handle both broadcasts on Saturday with the A-Day game. Our broadcast will begin at 1:00. I'll be joined in the booth by Jason Campbell, Will Herring. We'll have Ronnie Brown on the sideline for the A-Day game. And then, of course, Auburn baseball on Saturday afternoon starting at 3:15 with the broadcast, and the first pitch is scheduled for 3:30.
And as we approach the 20-year anniversary of the 2004 Auburn Tigers, very cool that you'll have three members of that roster as part of the broadcast this Saturday. Pretty crucial members of that pretty vital parts of that team too. In Jason, Ronnie, and Will there with the with the call for the Saturday's game.
Yeah, that's that just kind of happened. That wasn't planned with these guys joining the broadcast, and Will and Ronnie are alternating Saturdays on the sidelines. And, of course, Jason in his first full year coming up as our color analyst on Auburn football. So look forward to seeing what happens on Saturday. I don't think we'll see a ton on Saturday. I don't think that this team wants to show a whole lot with the new coaching staff and new schemes offensively, certainly defensively. But it'll be good to be at Jordan-Hare Stadium. They haven't practiced at Jordan-Hare Stadium at all, and Hugh Freeze has said that was one of the things by design. You know, one time at Jordan-Hare, and that's A-Day on Saturday, and then these guys get a couple weeks off and, you know, get a couple weeks to work out, and then they're off for the month of May, and then before we know it, they'll be back in summer workouts, and we'll be getting ready for fall camp.
Andy, it's a different feeling in the spring than in previous seasons, in part because Auburn didn't make a coaching change. Auburn brings back last year's starting quarterback, and he looks to have a somewhat secure hold on the job going into this upcoming season. And even, you know, around the roster, you think about last year's team and how many players were first-year arrivals out of the portal that were really making their debuts at the A-Day game. You know, you don't have as much of that. Auburn didn't have to refurbish the roster with dozens and dozens of new additions to supplement things everywhere. That doesn't necessarily mean that things are on the wrong track or that things are trending wrong. It just, you know, maybe it's a less eventful spring than we've had compared to some ones where either there's a quarterback controversy or a new coach or a ton of new players all over the roster.
No, I think that's a good thing. I think this is a positive for Auburn that, you know, I mean, a year ago, Hugh Freeze was just trying to put a roster together for the 2024 team. And obviously that was a great deal of the transfer portal. I don't think that Auburn's done with the transfer portal at this point. We'll find out after spring practice. But, you know, it was putting that roster together. And then that quickly turned into what became the 2024 recruiting class. And Hugh Freeze has said, listen, it's the 24 class and the 25 class that will really, you know, that's the future. And we'll find out about this Auburn football team in these next two recruiting classes, including the one that is currently in camp right now. So it is a different feel at spring ball. I think that I wouldn't say that Hugh Freeze and the staff were scrambling a year ago, but they were just trying to put a roster together for the season. Now with this class that's in, and you mentioned Peyton Thorne at quarterback, the entire running back room is back. A good portion of that offensive line is back. Almost all of the tight ends are back offensively. The big change and the big improvement is talent at the wide receiver spot for Auburn, with a couple of the transfers in and a couple of these highly touted freshmen. The big question mark, I think, to me, is on the defensive side, with a relatively new secondary, a relatively new defensive line for Auburn. That's the big question mark for me in this spring practice. But I think it's an incredibly important spring practice for Auburn. It's important because Peyton Thorne is here for spring practice. He wasn't here a year ago. All of these quarterbacks are here for spring ball. They're all going through spring ball together. And that competition with Hank Brown and Holden Gariner continues through spring practice. I think that's a good thing. And the fact that I think it's more of Hugh Freeze's coaches that are here as well. I think that makes it a bit different for Hugh Freeze this season. I think it's different for this head coach than it was a year ago. I don't know if head spinning is the right way to put it, but I think, you know, it was still putting a roster together at this point a year ago, and that's much more sound as Auburn gets ready to close out the 2024 spring practice.
Maybe he wasn't scrambling, but moving urgently would be a way. You know, there was, yeah, I mean, to be diplomatic about it, I know exactly what you're talking about, Andy. And, you know, another spot where I think about criticisms that Auburn fans or even coaches have had about Auburn teams in the past, and I think about previous incarnations of the Auburn football team where at least one or maybe both starting tackles on the offensive side were guys who were maybe miscast as college offensive tackles, better suited at guard, or had been converted to tackle later in their careers. I asked Jake Thornton about that sort of specifically, and he didn't want to talk too much about previous Auburn teams, but in talking about these two tackles that are at the top of the depth chart at the moment, Percy Lewis from Mississippi State and Tuttle on the other side, these are guys who, I mean, if you asked a casting director in Los Angeles to find you a couple of SEC tackles, you know, they'd look like these two guys. They fit the part physically of what that position demands in the SEC, which is something you haven't always said in the spring about the upcoming season for Auburn.
I think Auburn is more set on that offensive front, certainly this year, than it was a year ago. If you look at Connor Liu, I mean, it's his spot now at center. And he had to play for Auburn a year ago, and he played very well for Auburn as a true freshman, a freshman All-American for the Tigers a year ago. And the two, and you talked about the two tackles, that's allowed them to take a guy that played tackle a year ago and move him into guard, which is more of his spot on that left side now for Auburn. So I think Auburn feels much better about its offensive line and its depth and developing that depth on that offensive front than it did a year ago. So I think that's one spot that they feel much better about. Certainly, I think they feel better about the quarterback spot just because they've got everybody in. I think there's no reason not to feel good about that running back room because they're all back, and there's great talent there. And they've got everybody back except one in the tight end spot. So, I mean, there are some spots offensively where you feel good about Auburn. The question mark, again, going in is wide receiver, and it's not do they have the talent there, but it's young talent. And that, those are guys that you know, we felt that you know, they were outstanding recruits for Auburn, and they're going to be asked to play early. And that's the one thing. I mean, they're going to be freshmen out there. They're going to play a lot of football for Auburn, but they are talented freshmen out there at that wide receiver spot.
Talking with Andy Burcham, the voice of the Auburn Tigers here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Andy, you mentioned, you know, Auburn might not be done assembling this roster. The portal opens up at the end of this month, second half of April, I believe April 15th. Is the opening of the spring portal for college football about a week and change after Auburn plays its A-Day game. Maybe Auburn could be looking at veterans at different spots to supplement this roster. Not the drastic sort of the movement that we saw from Auburn last year, like you said, in Hugh Freeze assembling a roster after the kind of turnover that he inherited and that occurred immediately after he arrived. But yeah, the portal could be an interesting time for college football, just like the portal action we're seeing in college basketball. I mean, they don't even wait for the tournament to get done in college basketball before we start hearing a lot of buzz about where things are happening in men's and women's college basketball these days.
Yeah, it's the day that we live in. Mm-hmm. It's the reality of it right now, and I don't think we can be too shocked if Auburn loses some players to the transfer portal from a football standpoint at the end. I mean, I don't think it's just necessarily trying to add, but there may be a guy that they decide that it's time for him to move on. We'll find out at this point.
Well, I would say if you're entering, and I'm not trying to push anybody out the door by any stretch of the imagination, but in this day and age, if you're entering year three here at Auburn in your college football career, and it looks like you're not going to get too much playing time this fall as we exit spring practice, a lot of players in that position decide to go see what else could be out there for them in the portal, even if it maybe isn't even at the Division I level.
Right. Well, there's going to be some uncertainty until everything kind of washes out from a transfer portal. For basketball, I mean, we know that Auburn's bringing in a shooting guard that they like. Katie Johnson has declared for the portal. I don't think that was a big surprise from Auburn's perspective there. And you know, who knows what's going to happen between now and the end of the transfer portal. It's what we live in right now, both men's, women's basketball, football, baseball. At this point, it is just the reality for these coaches. Boy, it certainly makes for them some uncertain times. On the other hand, you can improve your roster and do it dramatically and quickly in the transfer portal. You can also lose some roster in that transfer portal as well.
Remember when basketball coaches could go on vacation right after the season ended, right? Because it was like, hey, the season's over. You can no. This is as important as I mean, the time from the moment the portal opens through the next 2 months or so is such a vital time for assembling next year's team and re-recruiting your own guys. And to me, the single biggest, like the story to watch in all of Auburn athletics, including what we got going on with the football team right now, like the headline I'm watching most closely, we're waiting to see what Jahni Broom decides to do.
Right.
He has another year of eligibility. He has a COVID year. He could opt in, play another year at Auburn. I point out, and again, I'd love to see Jahni play another year at Auburn. I point out, just because Janai decides to play another year of college basketball doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be at Auburn. And we've seen players leave superpowers and go elsewhere in the past, too. But right now, we're waiting to see if Janai wants to go pro or if he wants to opt in for at least one more or what would be a final season at Auburn. And it is difficult to explain how huge another year of Janai Broome would be. I mean, Auburn could be bringing back a preseason first-team All-American if Janai Broome decides to return and play his final year of college basketball. Andy, you've had a courtside seat for Janai Broome's development over the last 2 years. What would Auburn be getting back if Janai Broome decided to stay and play one more year?
You'd be getting one of the premier post players in all the country, quite frankly. And you may be getting a first-team preseason All-American back if Janai comes back for his final year at Auburn. And we saw his development from last year to this year. He had a very good combine last year and had a decision to make at that point. And then he came back to this year and was a first-team All-SEC player for the Tigers. And there, to me, and I didn't get to see Zach Edey play with Purdue, but I did not see a better back-to-the-basket player in college basketball this season than Janai Broome. And just look what he did down the stretch of this season, what he did in the SEC tournament, and the moves that he developed for Auburn. And he became one of the leaders on this team. I got to watch Janai not only on the floor, but off the floor as well. He became one of the main, the important leaders on this basketball team. It's hard to ask much more out of what Janai Broome did for Auburn this season. If Auburn could get him back for another year, holy cow, what a bonus. What a bonus that would be. And he's not the only one that has a choice to make. Dylan Cardwell could come back for another year for the Auburn Tigers. How much more would he develop for Auburn? Dylan's already got his bachelor's degree. He's an outstanding student. There are all kinds of things that Dylan could be doing, including basketball, coming up this next season.
Andy,
so it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be fascinating to watch what happens here in the next month or so with regard to this Auburn basketball team.
We're not that far away from an era where a player like Chad Baker Mazzara would have had a different decision to make, after what he wants to do after a season like that, and if he wants to go pursue professional basketball somewhere, or even try to work his way into the NBA somehow. Like that. That's in the past we had players leave eligibility on the table for financial reasons, and it seems like that has changed for a variety of reasons in college basketball. And yeah, hopefully impact players who don't seem like surefire NBA bets, maybe they will exhaust their eligibility, because yeah, it'd be wonderful to see Janai play another year at Auburn after the way he's improved and the way he's impacted this program.
We could all only hope to get Janai Broome back for another year. I'd love to call Janai Broome one more season in an Auburn Tiger uniform.
And I think a lot of folks listening would love to hear that, Andy. Really appreciate you making some time for us. Busy week these next couple of days, right? You got a game in Birmingham tomorrow. You got some spring football and Tennessee coming to town this weekend. On top of everything else going on.
Yeah, and let me add one more. Our final Tiger Talk of the season is Thursday night out of Baumhauer's Victory Grill. The guests include Auburn baseball coach Butch Thompson, Chris Stanfield will be joining us, and Hugh Freeze. So that's our lineup for our final Tiger Talk starting at 6 o'clock over on Wings. I hope you can come out and join us for a final dinner at Baumhauer's starting at 6 o'clock on Thursday night. Of course, then Friday, 6 o'clock, Auburn, Tennessee. Saturday, 1 o'clock, A-Day. 3:15 coverage of Auburn baseball against Tennessee, and then Sunday we wrap things up Sunday afternoon. Plus, of course, UAB and Auburn baseball tomorrow night at Regents Field in Birmingham starting at 5:45.
Andy, they had me in the DJ booth upstairs at A&T up in Greensboro.
Really?
They had me upstairs in the concourse.
Okay, so you were there.
Opposite from the home bench on the concourse, second level there in the corner, and it was...
Well, you get to be at home now for the Fab Four, don't
yeah,
you?
That's right. Tomorrow night, Minnesota coming to Trojan Arena,
go.
And then we'll see what happens on Saturday.
What a great time that should be. I hope you have a great call, and good luck to Troy in the WNIT.
Thank you so much, Andy, and really appreciate this, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, take care. Take care, Dan.
Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, joining us, exceptional as always. We'll be back with more. You're listening to the Tuesday Drive.
The Lee County Environmental
Service. We're going to step aside for the end of hour number one. Auburn gymnastics coach Jeff Graba will join us in hour number two as Auburn gets ready for the postseason. Jake Crane from Crane & Company will join us as well. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Drive.
Following is an Auburn Network production.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is hour number two of The Drive. Hey, I'm back.
I'll see you guys.
Well, no, you were gone yesterday. I was only gone for part of the show. Now I'm going to leave early again. But
and I'm going tomorrow.
That's
right.
So it's like
a game to call.
It's very rare that both of us have been here in the same studio at the same time. But it's hour number two of the Tuesday Drive.
Like Mick and Keith.
Yeah, right. Sort of. Yeah, I guess. although only one of us is about that old. Let's see. Hour number two of the Drive brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And right here off the top of the hour, we're going to get to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar and welcome in the head coach of the Auburn gymnastics team, which is headed out to Berkeley, California. As a matter of fact, I believe Kendra said that they're going to be leaving at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning for the regional out in Berkeley this weekend. And we welcome in Coach Jeff Graba to the Drive. Jeff, how you doing today?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Doing fine. I don't have to wake up early in the morning anymore. I've retired from the university job. So at least you should get to sleep a little on the flight, I guess.
Yeah, I'm jealous. I mean, this early morning stuff, just so we can get out there and have extra daylight so I can be more tired at night.
Oh, yeah. But, hey, it beats the heck out of staying at home this time of year.
That's true. The alternative is worse. So, we are excited. We have an opportunity, and that's all you can ask for.
Oh, absolutely. Well, let's talk. I mean, the last time we talked here on the show was preseason, and you were talking about the potential and the talent of this team. That has been evident throughout the season, but I guess consistency is the thing that you've been looking for and looking to hope really have as you head into the regionals.
Yeah, I think. You know, we've had some real bright spots and realized our potential a couple of times. But you know, putting it together every night, we have 10 new people on the team, and I think that's been our biggest challenge this year. We've gotten quite a bit better here near the end of the season. But, you know, the postseason, everybody's got to be really good. So if you make a mistake now, you're in trouble. So, but that's true for everybody in the meet. So, I really believe it comes down to mental toughness, and this group is a really mentally tough team.
Yeah, as you mentioned, quite a few new faces on the team this year, and last year I think you know more of the spotlight because of SUNY, obviously, but the team, I mean, really caught a lot of folks' attention. I know that the season tickets were just almost impossible to get. Unfortunately, my son and daughter-in-law were able to grab a couple of those and try to dole them out during the season. But the success you had last year, the bar, if you will, has been set a little bit higher. And, you know, folks now, you know, looking and expecting even greater things. And this team has the capability, I believe, in doing that.
Yeah, you know, we've got two national championship we have two individual national champions in the history of the program, and they both exited the team last year. So I think the simple fact that I don't like to call it a rebuild because we have a lot of talent, but we are retooling. People are getting to know their new positions. And, you know, we got some real excitement coming in next year. This Olympic trials this summer might have a couple of our future Auburn Tigers in it. So the future is bright. What we're trying to do is keep our head in the game this year. We are very talented. But we all knew that this year was going to be a year where the talent was there, but the system needed to be tweaked. We needed to get people in new roles, and I really like the team. We've gotten back to the basics. We're more of a tough blue collar team right now, which is really beneficial when you go into the postseason. And you know, anything can happen. And we're good enough to keep, you know, charging through the postseason. But our best team, we have to have our best performance pretty much every night now.
One of the things you mentioned earlier today when you were spending a little time with the media, mostly Justin, because I didn't want to ask some questions that I'd be asking you in a few hours this afternoon, but
sure.
I thought it was really interesting. You're talking about, and it makes perfect sense, of you watching the vault and seeing how things are being scored while you're on the floor. I mean, you really need to know how things are going, not so much keeping score as how things are being scored early on as you get ready and determine who's going to be competing.
Yeah, with the team this year, we have made a concerted effort to develop depth. Last year, near the end of the season, you know, Suni got sick and Olivia Greaves was not available to us, and we really ran out of depth. So anything that could have happened did happen last year at the end of the season. So this year we wanted to develop depth. There are some people in the alternate spots who aren't in the lineup but might be able to go in and are warming up that are good at different things. And I have to be able to look ahead and see which is the best selection for how these judges are judging. So my job, I told the team, and we've been working on it for the last week and a half, my job is strategy and their job is tactics. They need to cover their job, which is, you know, performing good routines, and I need to figure out the best lineup, and they just need to you know, try to accept it that I've looked ahead and tried to figure out the best approach. So that's postseason for you, though, because the score doesn't matter. You just have to beat two teams every night. You gotta finish in the top two of a four-team meet. So you could go 194, and as long as you stay ahead of two teams, you're pretty excited.
You're the only SEC team that making the trip out to Berkeley, and you know, you avoid anyone else in the conference. But that's, you know, it hardly suggests that you caught a break with the Berkeley Regional, because I'm sure you're willing to point out there are some very good teams competing against Auburn this weekend in Berkeley, including the two California teams that are the top seeds in the regional.
Yeah, we didn't catch a break. We actually, in our first round, we got a bye in the first round, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
We're right into the second round, but we could be the only team with a hotel room in that second round, because we could be going against. We know we're going against Cal, which is the host team, and Stanford's 25 miles away, and we go against the team that's the play-in, and if it's San Jose State is one of the play-in teams, if they win, they're 32 miles away. So we're going to be three time zones away, and they're going to be 30 miles away. So that was a problem. And then, you know, there's because of the bracketing, I feel a little bit like the men's basketball draw, where we're going to have to beat two top 10 teams in one night to qualify through this round. So it's a heavy lift, but like you say, we are avoiding some other SEC teams. I at least know for a fact the SEC teams are legit contenders,
right?
And you just don't know. We haven't seen anybody out there. They might turn out to be fantastic and everything they're billed to be, or they might have a weakness that we're not aware of that we can get out there and hopefully take advantage of.
Talking with Auburn gymnastics coach Jeff Graba here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. As you head out to Berkeley, as you mentioned, you have a lot of you had a lot of new faces at the beginning of the year. Now everybody is familiar with most of them, but who are, I mean, I would guess Cassie and Sophia. I mean, maybe your Cassie, of course, is the grizzled vet, if you will. Well, I don't know that I've ever called a girl grizzled, and I shouldn't do that. But I mean, she's the you know,
seasoned.
That's much better. That's much better. But I mean, just talk about the leaders that you have.
Never thought about the gender politics of grizzled.
I hadn't either. I mean, Jeff was talking about cheerleader. You know, energy. Somebody bringing the energy and things like that. But who are your leaders? This team looks like it has some real leaders.
It does. I mean, Cassie Stevens and Aria Brush. They came back for their fifth year and. They've been through everything with this team. They've been through the COVID years. They've been to the Final Four, you know, so they know everything that you can accomplish and how to accomplish it. And they also have had, you know, the ups and downs. So they've made the mistakes. So, I mean, those two are the reason that we're really fighting through this thing and that we've got a fighting chance to get through this bracket. And then you take the next group, which is Sophia Groth and Gabby McLaughlin.
Right.
Olivia Hollingsworth. I mean, there's just a ton of routines from some really experienced people that that really have never been stars before. I mean, 2 years ago, you might not have even known a couple of their names, but they were doing the routines for us. But they just were overshadowed by Darion Goburn and Suni Lee at the end of the lineup. So some of these people are just rising to the occasion and embracing new roles. And I mean, really, those are the people we're leaning on.
And the debut of it's a younger player on the team, but the debut of Olivia Greaves after the injury and to see her get to finally make her college debut and recover from, I mean, it was that's one of the coolest things I've seen, you know, following college gymnastics. And I admit I'm not grizzled in the college gymnastastics field yet. I haven't been watching that long, but that was such a special moment. And for people who don't know, you know, the adversity, you know, what she went through to eventually make her way back, it's you know, as her coach, I imagine that's something you won't forget anytime soon.
I'll never forget it. She's, you know, she's just been through so much, and then, you know, she's only been with us a half a year right now as far as competing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she might be in three events. Right now, on paper, she's going to be an option to be in three events. The only one we're not probably going to put her in on is floor at this point. But to go from you know, 0 miles an hour in December with her whatever third or fourth major setback with that foot to now, you know, being in on three events at the biggest meet of the year. First off, the team needs that because she's a dynamic, unbelievably talented gymnast. But for her personally, just the comeback story that she's had, it's just been amazing. So I wish nothing but the best for her, and she's ready. She's practicing at a high level and earning her spot. So we're really excited. She's the future of this program, obviously.
Yeah. Bill, we're big fantasy baseball nerds here, coach, on the show. And Bill, when a player has a couple of setbacks to an injury, but then finally they're able to recapture, you know, what made them such a special prospect in the past. Like, that's, you know, those are the kind of players you end up with, right? You wait a little while, and
absolutely.
She's the it's such a cool story, hoping to see if she can contribute this postseason as well.
Jeff, you mentioned
she's
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Just love the story. So.
Oh, absolutely. You mentioned earlier today that something that is really interesting, neat about this team is you really have more depth because of the versatility of your athletes that can that can score high on different different apparel and
apparatus. Yep.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. I knew it wasn't enough. Yeah, but I mean, you do have quite a few different possibilities as far as your lineup. That's something you didn't have a year ago. I mean, you had a couple of great, great gymnasts, but if something happened to either one of them, you were in big trouble.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, look, we had to get better this year. Okay, so you guys referenced baseball. I'm going to reference Moneyball. We had to get better in the aggregate. We had to you lose the Olympic gold medalist and our first ever NCAA champion. And what you have to do is everybody's got to get a little bit better, but you also got to add pieces to the puzzle that might be brilliant at an event and then a backup on another couple of events. So we're carrying more athletes, and thus is why we brought in 10. But But I do think we've actually added depth and talent. But it isn't Thuni Lee who's like premier on four events. It might be three girls who are premier on those same four events. Mm-hmm. So, just a bit of a different philosophy, but I do like, I'm getting more sleep this year than I did last year. Cause when the right people are beat up, coaches don't sleep well. So.
Oh yeah. That I understand that completely. Jeff, really appreciate you spending a little time with us. As I said, you know, we talked about the potential. We've seen it at times. I don't think that you have seen the best from this team yet. Hopefully that's what's waiting.
I agree. I hope so. You might be right. You just called our shot. I'll take it.
Absolutely. So will everybody back here. By the way, I haven't looked. What's the best way for us to keep up with it? Can we watch?
Yes, it's on ESPN Plus. So it's okay. On the app, and it'll be 9 o'clock our time Friday night. Will be our first round.
Great. Looking forward to it. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck on the trip out to Berkeley.
All right. Thanks, guys. War Eagle.
Coach Jeff Graba joining us here at the top of hour number two here on the Tuesday Drive. Yep, they're competing Friday night out in Berkeley, California. We need to get to our first break. We'll open up the phone lines, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. And they also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
Come on in and join us here on the Tuesday Drive.
827502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. It's Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls, and we'll get to the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, and Steve is up first. Hey, Steve.
Hey, I'm sure you've already discussed the game from last night, and you know what an incredible performance, you know, in a big game, probably one of the greatest individual performances in any sporting event I've ever seen. But another thing that came out of that, and I've been on the fence about this, is I decided I think I like quarters better than halves.
Oh, there's no question, and it's crazy to me that men's college basketball is the only basketball that you're going to find in this country that is not played by quarters.
Yeah, I like the quarters, and I like the five.
I like the five fouls, and they reset.
I like the five foul double bonus.
Yeah,
the five foul double bonus puts more strategy in the game. Mm-hmm. You can foul somebody late in the quarter and not worry about putting your team in trouble for the entire second half.
Yep.
I mean, it all comes down to advertising and revenue. But what I found was I didn't even move from my seat. Well, like when I'm watching an Auburn game, which I'm very engaged in, not much more engaged than I was in that game, you know, personally. When the ball goes out of bounds at 15:22, I know the 16-minute timeout is. I'm going to go to the bathroom, get a drink, walk around the house, whatever. You know, the game does not flow well. I mean, I can remember being in Atlanta. I don't know what year it was when Duke was trying to replicate the 40 minutes of hell from Arkansas, and we were in person. It's the first time I sat in a game really in person when they put those new rules in, and it was so disheveled and so breaking up the action. And Duke got beat because you basically play 4 minutes and you get a free break.
Oh, yeah.
You
know, I mean,
there was a section in the game last night in the second quarter when those girls ran up and down that court for probably six straight minutes. I think they made 7 threes out of 9 attempts, and the ball never stopped. There wasn't a foul. It was fantastic. And I'd love to see him bring him back into the men's game.
Well, and now some of that's just being able to play without fouling, too. Being able to play, you know,
or the game being called a little bit differently, too.
Right? And I mean that's the first full game of the tournament I've watched. I understand the officiating in that tournament has not been great. I thought the officiating last night was very good, but the flow of the game, just the general flow of the game, is better. And I think there's much more strategy in the coaching of the game with the 5 fouls and a quarter. With, you know, not, you know, there's not a break. There's, I mean, those 16, 12, 8, and 4s are purely for advertising.
Oh, they are. And look, that's not the reason that they're not going to quarters. I heard Jay Billis talking about this a couple of weeks ago.
Okay,
and he said the reason is the hardline, staunch, old people that are in charge that are there with college basketball, they don't want it to change. He said, and until they either die out or somebody else
is able to sort of take control. It's just the, no, by God, we're not going to change it. That's what keeps our game separate, and it keeps it worse. I mean, it's not worse. I love college basketball, yeah, but it would be so much better if it were played by quarters.
Well, but you know what? When they used to play 20-minute halves, they used to not be at 16, 12, 8. And
that
4,
is exactly
out.
Right.
So just go back to the old way. At least for tickets, you can stay with halves with me, but get rid of those breaks. But they can't do that for advertisers.
Well, why stay with halves though? When in junior high and in high school and in professional and in every other thing, you're playing quarters. I mean, you're used to quarters, and all of a sudden you've got that. That's the reason that they said they put in those timeouts, because players weren't used to having possible long stretches without breaks. Well, just keep them quarters.
Well, you went up a league, and also, I promise you, somewhere in the NCAA and CBS and ESPN and everybody who pays the bills are like, well, you know, if the quarter's over and we run four straight commercials, people are going to get up and not watch the commercial. Well, people are doing that at 16, 12, 8, 4.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, I'd much rather the game be better, and the flow of the game is much better in quarters than it is in the half. So, but all right, I appreciate it. Y'all have a good day.
Good stuff, Steve. I agree with him 100%. I mean, you're doing women's games that are quarters.
Yeah, I love it. I love the format. I love the. I think the women's game has, and not that it's the end of the world if you stick with the 20-minute half system, but I prefer.
But why not? Yeah. I mean, why would you have that be so much different?
I like the fouls resetting too.
Yes,
I
do too.
I think the fouls resetting 10 minutes, yep. which is to me the most important difference. Is that you can have
a team shooting the bonus in the first quarter, but the second quarter, no, they're not going to have to be doing that for the rest of the half.
Yeah, you're not going to be paying for it the rest of the half. You commit a bunch of fouls coming right out of the locker room. You pay for it for the rest of the quarter, but it resets. It's one of the things. But I think it's a very good system.
334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through. I'm gonna get out of here a little early. Hopefully we avoid the weather tonight. I've seen some scary things, heard some scary things about the weather, but we got tickets to see REO Speedwagon over in Montgomery this evening, so we're going to head over there. So I thought I'd give you a little dose of some of the things we saw today at practice. One other thing that I didn't mention when I was on earlier, and we were talking about some players that might have stepped up that we hadn't seen before, that we haven't heard a lot of talk about, and that's one of the things I asked Coach Freeze. And one of the guys he mentioned, it was great to hear Braden Joyner. Oh, I didn't mention the sad news on him. He mentioned the sad news of Braden, lost a parent last night. So, I mean, that's really, really sad news. But good to hear that Braden has stepped up and really had a good spring. But he also mentioned J.C. Hart. Said J.C. Hart has
another local guy.
An incredible ceiling, and he really – is starting to see J.C. Hart come on. Well, remember, J.C. really had not been trained as a cornerback. You know, he had been he played wherever he was needed in high school, but now he's one of the many young defensive backs that Hugh Freeze, D.J. Durkin, Crime Dog, and Charles Kelly feel like they really have a wealth of young talent back there in the secondary. But today we got to see a little 11-on-11 when we first came out there, and then a little 7-on-7. I will say Holden Garner looked as good as I've seen him today while we were out there for a little while.
A guy that I'm perennially asking about, in part because I feel like there's a ton of buzz in the other two young quarterbacks.
Yes, you're right.
Nothing against Peyton and nothing against Holden. It feels like people have that, you know, it's the Buzz Lightyear. The brand new toy sort of deal with Hank, who you saw in the bowl game, and Walker, who just got
here. Yeah, the last time you saw Hank, which was probably the first time you saw Hank, he looked really good.
Exactly. And Holden's been here a couple of years without really breaking through and being the starter. And Peyton Thorne had an up and down year, so I understand why there's more interest in the younger guys. But I still feel like there's maybe something there with Holden Garner. I don't know if it's going to happen here at all.
Yeah, I do wonder. I figure whoever feels like they're number three in the pecking order. Probably, I mean, if it's one of the if Holden's not in the top two, I would say it would almost be a surprise if he didn't consider
even
entering the transfer portal.
Even with a redshirt year, we were talking about it with Andy Burcham in the last hour. Even with a redshirt year, if you're staring at year three as a college football player,
yeah,
and there's not a real path to playing time, a lot of players in that situation wonder if they're at the right place or if they need to go find somewhere where they can actually where they'll be able to produce on the field, especially at quarterback. You know, we're only one guy gets to play, and with Holden, you know, I don't know. I'll be honest with you, Bill. We were talking about this. You know, it's like if Holden went in the portal, if he did, and I'd love to see Holden Gurner stick around Auburn and eventually play his way into being the starter. If he went in the portal, guy with 2 years as a backup going into the transfer portal, it's not as though there are a ton of D1 programs that are going to push everybody they've got right now at quarterback aside and say,
no, you're right,
go give me that guy.
Like there would be some guys that would say, oh, we'll take a chance on him as a guy down the road, but is that what Holden wants?
Right. I mean, Holden could be the guy down the road here.
Yes.
Right. Like it's a matter of, you know, and so, you know, if he decides to leave, and I think that would also be true for the other two guys as well, you know, if they decide to leave with playing time in mind, they have to be very strategic about what the next place is, because a lot of places this late in the game already have an idea who's going to, like, a lot of coaches are going through spring practice with the guy they've got in mind. You know, they went quarterback shopping back in January to find somebody. So I think that's something to watch for. Holden, it's good to hear that he's looking, because look, that's another guy who would maybe upgrade. He would maybe benefit from an upgrade at receiver across the board.
Oh yeah, well he just looked sharp throwing the ball today. Peyton Thorne looked really, really good throwing it today. Some of the guys that Coach Freeze had talked about earlier missing last week's practice were back out there today. Jay Fair was out there. Caleb Burton, they were both in full gear. Sam Jackson's going to keep that yellow jersey on because he had shoulder surgery, but he's running all the routes. He's quick. He is fast. He's got really good hands.
I mean,
it was good to see Camden Brown is another guy who Coach Freeze said missed practice last week. He was back. The only one I think that was still out today was Coy Moore.
And Jason mentioned how Camden Brown was somebody who, you know, maybe the arrival of these new receivers, you know, is something of a challenge to Camden Brown. These are guys that are looking to take snaps that would otherwise go to you. You know, can you play your way? Can you play your way onto the field with this group? And then in the case of who'd you mention before? I was Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
That one of the things that stood out getting ready for the Cal game last year, one of the things that stood out about the first game Cal played was how Sam Jackson, how explosive he looked as the running quarterback
right.
for Cal in there. Was it North Texas? I want to say Cal opened the season against a mid-major, a group five team that they beat pretty convincingly. And Sam Jackson, if he can recapture some of that and you find ways to use that on the field, I think he could be a weapon for the Auburn offense this fall.
Yeah, let's see. That's pretty much the highlights. I mean, I got to see a few of the young defensive backs make some plays when they were doing a little 7-on-7 as well. So this is the last big practice because Thursday is another teaching day, and then Saturday, of course, will be a day. I guess we need to get to the bottom of the hour break so we can get to Jake Crane from Crane & Company. So we'll do that. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive.
Bu.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck in the studio. Drew at the controls as we roll on. Bill Cameron stepping aside as he's got he's got an engagement he needs to get to. So he's leaving the show a little bit early today after checking in with his report from Auburn spring practice. Auburn playing its A-Day game on Saturday. Also the day of the Final Four, and so we'll talk a little college football and a little college basketball with Jake Crane from Crane & Company here on the Tuesday show. How are you doing, Jake?
Doing great. Always fun to join you guys. And, so far it sounds, you know, from a football standpoint, that spring practice has been pretty healthy, which is a big deal.
What you're not getting, I was talking with Andy Burcham about this in the first hour, you're not getting a spring practice full of headlines, either because there's a quarterback battle with two or three guys raging and taking taking first team reps, or because you have a new head coach in his first year in spring practice, or because there are new faces all over the team. There is far more stability than Auburn has had in recent seasons. As we look at spring practice and sort of the carryover from last year, and at a couple of spots, that's really important, Jake, to have as much fun as we have with the daily information when there's a position battle or a quarterback battle. If you're a coach, maybe a less eventful spring practice is exactly what you want as you get ready for year two.
Well, you know, in the college athletics world we live in now, stability is worth its weight in gold. I mean, when you look at the transfer portal, when you look at the ever-shifting sands from what conference you're in, the scheduling changes, being able to, number one, having experience that returns and understands, you know, what's going to happen is a big deal. But I think Auburn doesn't just have experience, they have talented experience. You know, if my car doesn't work in 2023, it may come back for 2024, but that still doesn't mean that's a good thing. And when you look up front on the offensive line and the defensive line, and that's where it's going to stop and start for Auburn, and that's where it stops and starts, you know, regardless of any level of football. And having Cam Coleman and all these skill players, that's great. You need that. Obviously, the quarterback's a very important position. But if you're going to bridge the gap between the people that Auburn has to bridge the gap between, the Alabamas and the Georgias, and, you know, we know the SEC's adding Texas, and you look at Oklahoma, you've got to be able to compete up front, and you build it around that. So, you know, no huge, you know, I don't want to jinx anybody, but no huge injury news. It seems like a lot of the battles are unfolding kind of the way that they thought, but you're able to practice so much better with that stability that it just makes the team better.
Was the offensive line a weakness of the team last season in your eyes? Because there were times, especially against the best opponents on Auburn's schedule, there were times where it felt like, you know, the play calling was influenced by a lack of confidence in the offensive line's ability to get crucial yards on the ground or protect the quarterback in situations where Auburn had to throw the ball.
Well, look, I think compared to where the offensive line had been, you know, shoot, I mean, even going back 3 years before that, it was a better unit. Hmm. Was it a really good group? I wouldn't go that far. I'd say they were good enough to give Auburn chances in certain situations. But, yeah, you know, that's an area where, and I know Hugh Freeze knows this, and you look at recruiting with some of the movement that you've had lately, a lot of it's been along the offensive line, and you know, it's been good news for Auburn. That's, again, where you're always building. That's, you know, you look at the transfer portal and what Auburn's been able to do there. I wouldn't call it a weakness, but they do need to be better. But you need to be better everywhere. I mean, there were times where Auburn was able to run the ball and they were able to pass protect, and guys weren't making plays. They weren't making the passes. They weren't making the catches. So, you know, at the end of the day, I wouldn't use the term weakness, but I think they can be instrumentally better. And you look at guys like Connor Liu, right? Some of the guys that returned for Auburn, Dylan and those guys, that's a big deal. And that supplemented with what you added, bringing in Percy, obviously, is a big deal. So I think Auburn can be even better than they were last year.
Yeah, I'm so curious to see where the tackles evolve too, because Percy and Tuttle, you know, there have been years where that's, you know, that was, if you want to use the word weakness, there have been years in the past where folks would point to the tackle position at Auburn and say, because of how you've recruited over the years and because of how you're developing, you have converted players from other positions playing tackle instead of guys that really profile as high-level SEC offensive tackles. This year, with Lewis and Tuttle, seems like Auburn has a pair of guys that a lot of teams would want as their starting tackles.
Yeah, I'm never going to get upset if one of our tackles is nicknamed Too Tall. That's a pretty good situation. And obviously, Percy's a monster, and you hear the way the players talk about him. But it's not just those first two. I mean, Dan, you know this. You listeners out there, y'all know this. It is a battle of attrition. You've got to go at least seven deep on the offensive line, and that's including guys that can play inside and outside. You want to have eight, the magic number. Anything past that, you're playing with house money and on the gravy train. But it's about the depth. You know, you win, you don't just win games with the first 22 guys that you put out there. You win games really with your first 65. That's how it goes down. So not just having that, not just having two guys you really trust, which will help out the quarterbacks obviously, but having depth in case somebody does go down or inevitably somebody gets hurt. Who can you put out there at tackle? Who can you kick outside that can still play? Because the further you go on the edge of the line of scrimmage, the harder it gets. There's a reason that offensive tackles and pass rushers get paid the money they do.
Talking with Jake Crane from Crane and Company here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Peyton Thorne getting to go through spring practice for the first time as Auburn's quarterback. He's a veteran, came over from Michigan State before last season, but this is an important time for the starting quarterback, assuming Peyton Thorne is going to be the starting quarterback. What does a quarterback gain out of being able to go through spring practice with a team?
Well, you know, again, you brought up the word stability. I think now, even though, you know, you have a quote-unquote new offensive coordinator, a lot of the terminology is going to be the same. Not that Peyton struggled with that, but anytime you're more comfortable, it's even if you've had the experience that he did at Michigan State. I mean, this is a guy that's played a lot of snaps, played a lot of high-level snaps. So, you know, you were hoping he wouldn't be overwhelmed by too many moments, but now being in the SEC, kind of getting that monkey off your back, playing the Alabamas, playing the Georgias, understanding what you're going up against and being able to operate in a system that you're now a year deeper into, which that's typically when you see guys make the biggest jump mentally. You know, sometimes you have sophomore slumps on the field, but going into that second year, you have a much better grasp. Guys know you. They understand how you lead. That chemistry is formed, you know, not only with the new guys that show up like the Cam Colemans, but you've got a year of chemistry built up with the other guys that are returning. So I expect a big jump from Peyton Thorne. I mean, look, it's a team sport, right? We know quarterback's the most important position. Peyton Thorne is going to be judged on what he does against the top dogs, right? You expect to go out there and handle business against teams you're better than. But how do you compete when you go to Bama? How do you compete when you go to Georgia? Two games last year where I didn't think he was terrible. Now, they were at home, so we're going to see with him on the road. But he's got to really start stepping up, and I think some of the additions on the outside is going to help with that. He's got to start stepping up in the biggest moments and being the guy that can take Auburn, you know, past the point of where they've been. And I know he has it in him. He just got to go do it. And it's easier said than done, but at the end of the day, somebody's got to wear the hat.
A-Day coming up on Saturday. We will we'll see a lot of these guys in action. Basketball transfer portal is swirling as we approach the Final Four this weekend. Jake, before we talk about sort of the roster movement, let me get your thoughts on the two games. UConn, a juggernaut. They have not played a close game. They've not played anything approximating a close game in this NCAA tournament so far. They've got Alabama in the matchup on Saturday, and then Purdue, a sizable favorite over really the shocking story of the NCAA tournament, which is NC State, a team that was on the wrong side of the bubble when the ACC tournament started, and they've won what, 8 or 9 must win games in a row to get to this point, including a couple of them where the win percentages based on, you know, the pregame win percentages had them as a 70 or 80% chance of losing, and so they're on an incredible run as they face off with Purdue. Seems likely that we're going to get Purdue UConn in the championship game. Jake, do you think somebody could throw a wrench into that?
Well, you know, I'm interested to see how Zach Edey is able to operate against DJ Burns, because DJ Burns may not be 7'4". There's not a lot of guys, at least on this planet, that are. But he's about 7 foot wide. So I don't think Zach Edey is going to be able to just back him down the way he did, you know, Jonas Adu from Tennessee, which surprised me a little bit. Now, he'll still be able to reach over him. I think a lot.
I don't think a bulldozer's backing that guy down.
I know, right, that's the thing, and if Zach Edey can't get down there, you're really lowering the percentage of his ability to be able to score on the first shot. Now, the second shot, putbacks, things like that, and then how the game's officiated is obviously huge. But if they're able to have something even – Zach Edey's going to get his. Like, he's pretty much going to get his. Now, you don't want him to go for 40, right? But if you let Zach Edey get his and you don't have to double him down low – I think that puts a lot of pressure on Purdue's guards, who didn't shoot the ball well, right, who I don't think are elite. I mean, Braden Smith's a really good point guard, but he's not a big guy. I think NC State, if they have to give a little bit up, you know, down low, I feel like with Horn and the guys they got at guard, the way they're playing right now, there could be somewhat of an advantage, but it's going to come down to how the game's officiated. Now, when you're looking at Alabama and UConn, look, it's a basketball game, man. Anything can happen. But I've never seen – I remember watching the Florida teams with Joakim Noah and Al Horford and Corey Brewer. They won it back-to-back, and they were beating people up. But, I mean, Connecticut is beating people to death. I mean, it's they've led by 30 in every game of the NCAA tournament. We're to the Final Four. You can go out there and play. I watched Northwestern hit every shot in the first half, and they were still down almost 20. Like, I just feel like they're the best team. They're the Costco of basketball. They have everything, and they've got a lot of it. So if you're Alabama, everybody's talking about the three-pointers, and I get it, but I think Alabama could go out there and hit 15 threes and still lose by 20. I mean, it's what are you going to do with clinging down low and the way their guards play, and you know, they're really smart, and they make you play up to their level. So not that Alabama can't win, and they are playing with house money, but, Dan, I just don't see it. UConn looks about as much as a sure thing as I've ever seen, which means that Bama will look like the 98 Bulls against them.
As unbeatable as UConn looks, if you told me there was going to be an upset on Saturday, I would think it's Alabama instead of NC State.
I'm going to disagree there. Okay. DJ Burns.
That's fair. They're both double digit underdogs. Right, so it's absolutely valid to say, you know, one. I mean, I think they both seem pretty unlikely, upset wise, especially just as far as the outright, you know, to get the outright win. But Alabama, you know, that three ball is such a neutralizer, isn't it? If they can start hitting 22 or 20, I don't know how many of them it's going to take, Jake. The number might be 22. You know, how many threes does Alabama need?
It's an angels in the outfield situation for sure.
I mean, it is, and but that's the kind of you know, they do have the blueprint as far as, you know, what you would need to do well to beat UConn. They just have to go out there and do it. You know, it's UConn is playing. I've referenced Billy Donovan's reigning national champion Gators a couple of times, and it's fitting that this is the first defending national champion to go back to the Final Four since Billy Donovan's Gators with Joakim Noah 15 years ago, and this is the best basketball team we've seen since then. And Hurley, I mean, if UConn comes away with championship number two, hard to argue there's anybody in the sport doing it at his level.
Most popular Hurley brother changes after, you know, what his brother did at Duke. I mean, it's got to feel good for Dan Hurley. Thanksgiving's going to be a lot more fun.
Yeah, although, I mean, Arizona State's been helping that change for a couple of years too, right? Like I'm just talking about
Bobby Hurley the player. I don't think he's done much as a head coach.
I was gonna say, I mean, I thought that was a pretty good hire at the time, but yet here we are. All right, Jake, great stuff. Really appreciate you making some time for us. So you got UConn over Purdue? Is that your final?
Yeah, I can't pick against UConn. No. I just can't in good conscience do it, especially when I have to pay a mortgage. So, yeah, I've got UConn over Purdue, but just watch out for NC State, man. They're sneaky. They're not going to sneak up on anybody. I don't think DJ Burns is sneaking up on anybody. But I think that matchup, don't be shocked if that's a 5-point game with 5 minutes to go.
I'd love for us to get some close basketball games. And I'd love to see UConn in a close game because we haven't seen one. Right, like I'd love to see, Dan.
I hope they beat Bama by 1,000.
Well, there is that too. I'm sure there are some folks that want Nate Oates and his team drummed out of this thing post haste.
Yeah, he already ruined Christmas, so it's, you know, at this point, I hope UConn runs him out of the gym.
Hey, Jake, before we let you go, had an interesting conversation with Andy in the first hour about Jani Broome. What do you think he's going to end up doing? What's your feeling on Jani Broome's future?
Without being in the room, I'd love for him to come back.
It's all speculation. We don't know what kind of numbers are involved, right? Like, I mean,
So without knowing that, to me, I don't see Jani Broome, even after what he did last year, you know, in the combine and the workouts and stuff, when he did such a great job, I think there is room for maybe him to come back if the NIL bag is big enough, which would be a huge boost to Auburn. And Dan, you know, I put out a video after Auburn lost to Yale talking about, you know, Auburn athletics in the postseason. You know, we really haven't done that much since 2019, you know, and when we've gotten to Omaha in baseball, we hadn't been able to break through. It seems like the 2019 Final Four run, we haven't really been past the round of 32 since. And, you know, obviously football trying to get back there. And it's something where I feel like you can love Auburn the way that everybody loves Auburn and the way that y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. But also, at some point, the standard's been raised, right? We got to start making moves in the postseason because you look around, and Georgia's not going anywhere when it comes to all three sports. If you look at what they're doing in baseball, obviously Alabama right now is better than Auburn in all three major sports. We got to be honest about it. So, on one hand, you can love Auburn. On the other hand, you know, you can be thankful for what we have amazing coaches and they're incredible. Nobody's saying anybody should get fired, but they're, you know, the standard's got to be the standard. The minute that gets lowered, you know, we're in trouble.
I'm so curious to see what happens. I mean, Jani Broom is one big decision, obviously. And then what does Bruce Pearl do at point guard next year? Auburn was the only team.
Well,
I mean, with the Holloway and Trey Donaldson experiment, Auburn had two point guards playing around 18, 23 minutes a game. There was nobody in the Sweet 16 with a starting point guard who was playing less than 30, 32 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it's, you know, it is akin to quarterback. Jake, you can try to approximate a starting quarterback's production with two guys that are maybe good enough, but it's a lot easier when you got a guy that you know is good enough who's out there when the going gets tough.
No, without a doubt. I mean, look, there's a couple transfers. Miles Rice is one. The Pegues kid from Furman, who's a really good player. Look, guards win in March. I mean, look at Mark Sears in Alabama. Just go down the list. I mean, that's what wins. Guards are able to control the pace of the game, the tempo. You know, they understand how to slice and dice guys. And it's really, you know, just – and it's an evolution process. It's hard for freshmen to come in and play, right, at this level. It's not easy. But, you know, that's something where – and look, Coach Pearl and them know this. They know better than anybody. That's a spot where you have got to be able – to lean on a guy and have that leader running the top of the flying V, like they used to talk about in Mighty Ducks. And look, they'll get that right. Auburn basketball ain't going anywhere. And I know they're going to be, you know, chomping at the bit after what happened against Yale and watching Alabama make a Final Four. So they'll get it figured out.
Great stuff, Jake. Got to let you go. Tell folks where they can find you.
Easy, man. Go to YouTube. It's Crane and Company, C-R-A-I-N and Company. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify as well. You can catch us live each weekday morning. If you can't catch us live, it stays on there all day.
Great stuff, Jake. Appreciate it. Jake Crane from Crane and Company. We'll be back to wrap things up. You're listening to The Drive.
Nominations are in, and it's